Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Today, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Mernush Karimian Ainsworth, John Russell, Dan Friedel, and Christopher Jones Cruz. Later, Anna Mateo will have this week's health report. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
As Americans mourn victims of the mass shooting over the weekend, authorities are focusing on what can be done to prevent homegrown extremist attacks. Sunday's shooting at a popular gay nightclub killed 49 people and injured 53 others. The Federal Bureau of Investigation confirmed it had investigated the Orlando gunman, Omar Mateen, on suspicion of possible terrorist ties. FBI Director James Comey told a news conference Monday the FBI conducted interviews with Mateen in 2013 and 2014. Investigators also followed him and reviewed details of some of his contacts and communications. But authorities took no action against him because the FBI did not find any evidence of criminal activity. Comey said the FBI is currently reviewing its practices in the case, but at this point, he said he believes the agency acted appropriately. Comey said the Orlando shooter had strong indications of radicalization and may have been inspired by foreign terrorist organizations. But he added that the FBI has so far found no evidence indicating the gunman was assisted or supported by any terror groups outside of the United States. Mateen spoke with a 911 operator three times during the attack, according to Comey. He claimed allegiance to the leader of Islamic State. In the calls, Mateen also mentioned the Boston Marathon bombers and a man who carried out a suicide attack in Syria. On Monday, the Islamic State radio called Mateen one of the soldiers of the caliphate in America. The broadcast on Al Bayan Radio said the attack targeted Christians and gays. However, the terrorist group did not make any claim of responsibility for the attack. A spokesman for Saudi Arabia's Interior Ministry told the Associated Press that Mateen had visited the kingdom twice in 2011 and 2012 for religious rites known as Umrah pilgrimage. It is shorter than the annual Hajj and can be performed any time. National security experts say the FBI has a difficult task, with more than 1,000 active investigations in all 50 states of people suspected of having terrorism ties. Seamus Hughes is the deputy director of the Program on Extremism at George Washington University. He says it is hard for investigators to know whether someone's thoughts and views will ever cause them to commit a violent act. The shooting appears to have been a lone wolf attack, according to Tom Sanderson of the Centers for Strategic and International Studies. Lone wolf attacks are usually inspired by extremist groups, but are carried out by individuals without direct support from terror organizations. Sanderson said these kinds of attacks are likely to continue. I'm Brian Lynn.
Earlier this year, CNN invited President Barack Obama to appear on a special television program on gun violence. During the program, a law enforcement official told the president that gun violence would not end until criminals and those with mental illness obey gun ownership laws. Many political leaders link shooting deaths to mental illness. The president proposed a $500 million plan to expand mental health treatment programs in an effort to limit mass shootings and gun violence. Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, said, "We have seen consistently that an underlying cause of these attacks has been mental illness, and we should look at ways to address this problem." But researchers say people with mental problems, including schizophrenia and severe depression, are no more likely to use a gun to kill others than anyone else. Beth McGinty is an assistant professor at the Johns Hopkins University School of Public Health in Maryland. She recently completed a study that found most people with mental illness in the U.S. are not violent toward others. Her study also found that mental illness is not a cause of most gun violence in the U.S. McGinty told VOA that even if we had a perfect mental health system that treated everyone when they needed it and gave them effective treatment, we would probably only prevent between 3 to 5% of gun violence, and 95 to 97% of gun violence would remain untouched. She added that we have good studies showing that news media reports about mental illness really focus on rare acts of violence, often very high-profile acts of violence like mass shootings committed by people with serious mental illness. McGinty says whenever there is a mass shooting, officials and reporters look for evidence that the shooter had a mental problem. She notes, violence helps sell newspapers, and so that's often what gets focused on. Experts say when shootings are blamed on mental illness, people do not think about other possible causes for the attack. I'm Mehrnoosh Karimian Ainsworth.
Brazil now faces its own Occupy movement in public schools. High school students have taken over more than 300 public spaces and formed committees to demand meetings with state officials. Students want officials to investigate alleged misappropriation of money that had been earmarked for education. The government has not said how many schools are occupied, but the movement, which started last year in Sao Paulo, has spread to Rio de Janeiro, Ceará, Pará, Mato Grosso, and Rio Grande do Sul. In Rio de Janeiro, the host city of the Summer Olympic Games, teachers have been on strike for more than 3 months. Rio de Janeiro is broke. Rio is in a situation of despair, said Lucia Adedoyin, a parent and Rio de Janeiro resident. Classroom conditions became so bad, she said, that students decided to occupy their high schools. In a statement to VOA, a Rio education official said the department wants to have a dialogue with students, teachers, and other organizations. Teachers are not getting paid, and these Olympic Games brought the state of Rio de Janeiro into the abyss, Adedoyin said. The price of the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro rose 400 million reais, or $99 million, between August and January. The estimated total cost for the Olympics, including large infrastructure projects, is around 39.1 billion reais, or $11.5 billion. Recently, a Brazilian judge ordered classes to begin immediately in Rio. Judge Gloria Eluiza Lima da Silva said the student movement cannot stop other students and teachers from going to school. The protests are legal, she said, as long as protesters respect court orders. In Rio Grande do Sul, a state in the southern part of Brazil, more than 170 schools are occupied. Some schools have been closed for more than a month, students say. Rio Grande do Sul officials sent a letter to students in occupied schools telling them to leave the school within 48 hours. The student association then filed a motion in the state's court, says Fabiola Loguerico, a director of communication at the High School Union Association. Loguerico adds that students believe the state cannot take back the school because it belongs to taxpayers. This is the first conversation we're having with officials. The government has presented guidelines and said they would help and accept our demands, but they do not give a deadline, Loguerico said. I'm John Russell.
Each year, the Tony Awards honor the best actors, entertainers, writers, and producers from New York City's Broadway theaters. James Corden, a white comedian, opened the Tony Awards on Sunday night by saying, "Think of tonight as the Oscars, but with diversity." By contrast, Chris Rock, a black comedian, had opened the Oscars show last February by welcoming people to the White People's Choice Awards. Of the 40 actors nominated on Sunday night at the Tony Awards, 14 were of color. Black actors won 4 of the major acting awards. Leslie Odom Jr. is a black actor who plays Aaron Burr in Hamilton. He won the Best Leading Actor in a Musical Award over his castmate, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Miranda created the musical and played the title role of Alexander Hamilton. Miranda is of Puerto Rican heritage. Cynthia Erivo, a black actor from Great Britain, won for her role in The Color Purple. African Americans David Diggs and Renee Elise Goldsberry also won for their performances in Hamilton. One person following the Tony Awards on Twitter compiled photos of 4 of the black winners with the hashtag #TonysSoInclusive. Last February, the Oscars were criticized for not nominating any black actors for its major awards for the second year in a row. People protested the awards show, and the social media hashtag #OscarsSoWhite was trending. While Miranda lost the Best Leading Actor award to a fellow cast member, his musical Hamilton was the big winner of the night. Miranda won awards for Best New Musical, Best Musical Book, and Best Original Score. The show won 11 awards on Sunday night, only one short of the record held by the producers. The musical is about the life of Alexander Hamilton, one of America's founding fathers. Hamilton was not a president, but he fought in the Revolutionary War, persuaded the states to accept the Constitution, and helped create the country's national banking and economic system. Other well-known actors won awards on Sunday. Frank Langella won for his role in The Father. Jessica Lange won for Long Day's Journey into Night. And Jane Houdyshell, who has been performing for 40 years, won her first Tony for The Humans. The Tony Awards also celebrated a big year for Broadway shows. Hamilton and 38 new productions helped sell a record 13.3 million tickets for live theater in New York City. I'm Dan Friedel.
As experts warn of a coming food crisis, the vertical farming industry aims to create plants that offer more nutritional value and require fewer resources. In vertical farms, plants are grown indoors. Each set of plants is stacked on another. Workers control the climate and closely monitor each plant's growth. Vertical farm supporters say the methods are good for the environment and good for the world's growing population. Experts say the size of the vertical farming market is expected to quadruple over the next 5 years to nearly $4 billion. Because of the technology it has created, AeroFarms has become one of the top indoor farming companies. One of its vertical farms is in a large building near a busy road in Newark, New Jersey. It grows more than 250 kinds of greens and herbs. Farmers wear gloves, coats, and coverings on their head. Their shoes must be cleaned. AeroFarms grows crops at the same rate throughout the year. The methods it uses lower soil erosion. They also reduce the amount of pesticides and water needed to grow the crops. The company says carbon emissions are heavily reduced and, in some cases, eliminated. David Rosenberg is the co-founder and chief executive officer of AeroFarms. We could do this whether it is in the Sahara Desert or a city like Newark, he said. AeroFarms co-founder and chief marketing officer Mark Oshima says the company grows the kinds of plants that are eaten by people who live near the indoor farm. We think about amaranth, one of the most popular greens in Africa and Southeast Asia. We think about how we can really bring and celebrate different types of varieties and different types of greens that are going to be specific to those regions, he said. Alina Zolotarova is a dietitian and nutritionist at AeroFarms. She says she wants people to eat more leafy greens like kale, one of the most nutritionally dense foods. She says if her company is to successfully encourage this kind of healthy eating, it must grow crops that taste good.
Americans especially don't eat enough vegetables. And so for me, the most exciting part is all the different flavors that we have here. It makes eating your vegetables so much more exciting and so much more fun.
CEO David Rosenberg believes the company's kale is tasty. A lot of people like the nutritional density of kale, but they don't like the taste. So we can make a sweeter kale using the same seed, he said. Rosenberg said AeroFarms is helping the world deal with a growing food shortage. He said people must change their focus from the number of calories they consume to the nutrition levels of the foods they eat. Recent World Bank studies predict that an estimated global population of 9 billion in 2050 will require at least 50% more food. Experts say the crisis will be worsened by climate change, which they believe will reduce crop yields by more than 25% during that time. They say the food crisis will have a larger effect on the world's poorest citizens than on those who live in developed countries. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
This is What's Trending Today. A woman in the U.S. state of Louisiana had an unusual visitor recently. A security camera recorded a young boy riding his bicycle up to the home of Holly Mallett. The boy stopped in the driveway next to her house. Then he followed her driveway into the garage, where he gave her dog a quick hug. In late May, Mallett posted a video from the security camera on her Facebook page with this message: "Attention neighbors, anyone know who this sweet little boy is?" Mallett explained that she had seen the boy a number of times running into her garage to play ball with her dog Duchess, or to give Duchess a hug. Mallett said, "I'd like to tell him he's welcome to stay and play. She loves the attention." Within 2 hours of her Facebook post, the neighbors helped identify her mysterious visitor. The boy turned out to be 9-year-old Josh Bro. He lives nearby and loves dogs. Holly Mallett's mystery made news around the world. Her original Facebook video has been viewed almost 4 million times. Mallett contacted Josh Bro's mother, Ginger, to set up a playdate between the boy and Duchess the dog. When Josh's mother learned that her son had been sneaking into someone's house to play with a dog, she was not exactly happy. But she was glad her son had found a new friend. The Bro family had a dog for most of Josh's life, but the family dog recently died. The Bro family did not get a new dog because they were too busy to take care of a young puppy. Ginger Bro wrote about her son's experience on Facebook just the other day. She wrote, "When we are ready and decide it's time to get a new dog, we will definitely keep everyone updated. I am still beyond amazed at the positive response the video and story has gotten from all over the world." And that's What's Trending Today.
From VOA, Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. An estimated 2 million people around the world have multiple sclerosis, a disease commonly called MS. The disease can affect a person's brain, spinal cord, and optic nerves in the eyes. It can cause problems with eyesight, balance, muscle control, and other body functions. The severity often differs from one MS patient to the next. The most severe form of the disease is called primary progressive. scientists have found that a single change in a person's genetic material can cause primary progressive MS. They say this finding could lead to a cure for a disease that cripples millions of people. Researchers have long suspected that multiple sclerosis resulted from some kind of interaction among genes. Individuals with that genetic interaction, they thought, were more likely than others to get sick. They also believed that something in the environment, such as a viral infection or lack of vitamins in the diet, could activate the disease. But Canadian researchers have found that is not the cause of the most severe form of multiple sclerosis. With primary progressive MS, a single mutated gene can greatly increase the risk for developing the disease. This single gene is called NR1H3. The Canadian researchers are with the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. They reported the findings in the journal Neuron. The researchers examined medical records for 2,000 Canadian families with family members who had MS. The investigation led them to two families that carried a mutation, a structural change, in the NR1H3 gene. Members of those families suffered from the most severe form of multiple sclerosis. Medical geneticist Carlos Villarino Goel was the lead writer of the report. He noted that 15 to 20% of MS cases were thought to be hereditary, but that has never been proven. Villarino Goel says other studies have linked other genes to the disease, but those genes increased the risk of getting MS by at most 3%.
With this mutation, your risk is 60 to 70%. So that's a 600 to 700 increase in comparison to the general population. And that's what really makes this completely different from the previous genetic findings.
In other experiments, the researchers examined the NR1H3 gene in mice. Animals with a normal copy of the gene developed neurological problems when the gene was removed. The problems included a decrease in the production of myelin. Myelin protects protein on the outside of neurons. It speeds the electrical messages that control movement. A common sign of MS is muscle weakness and a loss of coordination. Many research teams are studying how to repair myelin in MS patients. Currently, drugs to treat it only slow down progression of the disease. They do not cure it. Discovery of a single genetic defect as the cause of MS, Villarino Goel says, could mean it may one day be possible to repair the gene. This means curing the crippling disorder.
You know, the more understanding we have of the mechanism of disease for all these families allow us to develop different treatments for different forms of the disease.
Researchers say they will continue their search for a single genetic cause for the most common form of multiple sclerosis, called relapsing remitting MS. They say their hope is that a cure could be discovered soon. I'm Ana Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.